see it then in three parts. We'll start with Tubit. Then we'll go to Hanukkah. And then we'll go to Shalom Bayit. But, because of my realistic evaluation, how much time it will take us to discuss the last two topics, we will not finish the Tosfos today. We'll just discuss the first part of it. And Mr. Shem, on Monday, Sunday we have no yeshiva, Monday, we have a special treat for you. A shiur from the Rav, from the Rav Salavation, who will be having with you with the Lema. Those who want to look it up, over the Shabbos, Hanukkah, Shalom Bayit. But, because of my realistic evaluation, how much time it will take us to discuss the last two topics, we will not finish the Tosfos today. We'll just discuss the first part of it. And Mr. Shem, on Monday, Sunday we have no yeshiva, Monday, we have a special treat for you. A shiur from the Rav, from the Rav Salavation, who will be having with you with the Lema. Those who want to look it up, over the Shabbos, Hanukkah, or Erev Shabbos, Hanukkah weekend, Rav put out a paper called Shiur Mazech Abamoriza. It's a collection of some of the Yahrzeit shiurim to give every year on Gimel Shvat, which is the Yahrzeit of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal. I was privileged to attend many of these shiurim. When I was still in high school, I went to RJJ on the Rotary side. My father would take me up here, and here the Rav, it was in the Lamport Auditorium, and the place was jammed to overflowing. And the Rav would speak sometimes for as much as 5 hours. Yeah. Don't laugh. They did it. 2.5 hours halacha, and 2.5 hours avoda. I have one distinct memory. We started at 7:30, it was I think 11:30 at night already, and people were getting a little bit tired. The Rav paused and said, "You want me to go weiter? You want me to continue?" That was how I used to dramatize. And once he said, look outside, he said, "It's a blizzard, it's a snowstorm. You're not going anywhere anyway. We might as well continue." And he went another hour. This is a big event. So a lot of these were printed in these, this is actually two volumes. This is the first volume, and there is a piece starting on page Reish called Till I Am the Kitchen. It's exactly the topic of this post over here. And we were discussing that at length. The Ma'amar Kamos today are all about, all quoted here in the Rav's article, as well as the last one from last from yesterday, the Tosfos in Menachos. All the same topic, Kalayim to do. So if we start it, we're going to be in trouble. I won't be able to get out. So we'll probably postpone it till Monday, and then we'll call the Chazara, presumably shortly thereafter. We'll discuss these details on Monday. Anyway, let's go to the first part of the Tosfos. Okay? Tosfos is going Mila B'Tzarat. Menom and Alam. Omer Rabbein Tam, the Simona B'Alma Nakte, that the example which is given over here of Esed Ochalosa say, it's Mila B'Tzarat. The person has a nega tzarat to moko mila, so we cut off the arla, despite the fact that ordinarily one is proclaimed to cut off a nega tzarat. The Pasuk says in Dvarim, Yishomer b'nega tzarat v'shmor ma'od v'la'atot. Yishomer, we know, is a lashon of lav. Yishomer pen v'alav v'lav. You may not cut off a nega. Hey, very simple answer. You don't want it to become common, you cut it off. Great trick. To the Torah says you may not do so. What happens if there's a Sarat from Mokomila? May you cut off the Arla? Yes! I say don't follow that thing. The Torah says, wait a minute. Not true? But the Torah says, Baharto, Ika, I say, Velos, I say. Should I mean to prepare the blood of the Mila, the Lashon Echad, I call it the Sperm. Because he says, I say, and a Los, I say. The Shomer, the Nega Sarat, that's the Lot. The Shmom was the Lato, the Chol HaShiyor, that's when I call him Alevian. So therefore you have to, you may not, it's alive, and you must. So therefore, we have a rule which we discussed already yesterday. Ein asei, dofer, lo se va asei. We're going to have some more asinah, the Amos, let's say asei, but dofer, lo se va asei. It's not true. Why? Either you see it is true, but there that mila is dofa saras? No. The mala mila shukai nikras or alari zimu grisas. So interesting. Mila and saras is not a classical asay dofa losa say. It's a souped up asay, it's a souped up losa say. What do you mean? The souped up losa say can have an ally and asay with it. It's a souped up asay, why? Because you zimu grisas. So it's a totally different kind of a ball game. Powerful asef, which has courage, which has yud-gimel grises, knocks off a powerful losse, which also has an asef attached to it. It's not a paradigm for asef dofa losse in general, in neither direction. So what is the real source? Ela'ika milsa mikilayim betisit. You get the impression from those they had a double girsa. Hey, Fabian, they had the girsa in the Gemara. Neis yasef betisit losse say, yon mila vitzarat vikilayim betisit. They say, Mila Mitzaras is not a perfect example. On the right-hand margin, they say, L'sform blogarsi yopa Mila Mitzaras vikilayim betitit. Such as our Shas. Shas Milta doesn't have that. The old Gersa had apparently, or one of the Gersas, Mila Mitzaras vikilayim betitit. We only have Mila Mitzaras. Well, because Kalayim is not so precious, it's the Esh of the Kaim Shneim, we'll get to that a little bit later. But that's what those assume. You derive a rhythm from Kilayim Betitit. Vim Toma. V'Kilayim Betitit Ersh of the Kayim Shneim. Sheyat Betalis Temer. Chutin Shel Temer. What right do you have to make strings of linen on the garment of wool and apply the rule of Asay Dofalosa Asay, Asay of Titit, Dofalosa Asay of Kilayim? We have a rule, the most famous rule in this rule. What is it? What, the only time we say Efshar Dofalosa is when it's E Efshar L'Kayim Shneim. He can have both. Take the garment of wool and put on strings of wool. The Omeri, the Vitalis shall Pishtan E Efshar L'Kayim Shneim. In a talis of linen, you can't do both. Why? Below Efshar L'Kayim it says Cheles Elah de Kilayim, the Cheles Amru. Cheles doesn't mean anything painted blue. Only blue dyed wool. So therefore, when it comes to a linen garment, the only possible way to fulfill mitzvah tzitzit properly with cheles is if you have kilayim. Of course, today we have no cheles. Why don't we have cheles? We have blue paint. Look at the back of the other wall, beautiful blue paint. Why can't we have cheles? Why? Asking a special creature called Chilazon. Yeah, the Radina Rebbe claimed to have found the Chilazon. And therefore the Radina Hasidim go with blue tzitzit. I am a firm opponent of this custom. For two reasons. One, I don't believe the Rebbe found the Chilazon. Two, my Rebbe told me that his great-grandfather, Beis HaLevi, said, Joshua Briska, that even if he happened to find the chalazin, it won't help, because if the Torah, once it's broken, it cannot be recreated. A pupil can be recreated, not a Torah. Three, worst of all, for those who are not firmly ensconced in the Razina camp, the idea of wearing blue is just, to my mind, a form of gaiva, conceit. We spoke about this yesterday in a different context. You know, you're better than everybody else. As I wear blue. There's only one guy in my shul ever wore blue. I looked very much askance upon it. I didn't like it. Didn't like the whole personality. Sure enough, the guy ran off with a shiksa. We are taught the Gemara and Menachas. That's true. The Gemara and Menachas tells us. The Gemara Menachas tells us about a story of one of the great individuals who was about, he heard it, unbelievable Gemara. We can't even mention the name, it's too embarrassing for us. One of the great Talmidei Chachamim, Talmud of his, the whole story. He heard of this fantastic Zona somewhere, a reputation which preceded her, internationally acclaimed Zona. Imagine that. I mean, rated a 10 plus, on the internationally acclaimed Zona. And this donor was tabula, you know, make it look really super fancy. It was top class donor, wasn't the son. So I think it was, you remember the Gemara? But I'm saying the Gemara said that she made the kibushin. No. What the Gemara? Gemara
Menachos.
The Gemara tells us that she had this unbelievably lavish system for her znus. I think it's a Menachos. Hold on. Maybe I'm wrong. This is how I recall the story. Maybe I'm dramatizing this, but this is how I recall the story. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, oh, here it is. Unbelievable Gemara. This is the story. Master by the Mechas, she has Zohar the Mitzvah's Tzitzit. The man kept Tzitzit. Benach and Mandalah Manal. Shama she is Zona Bekarke Hayam, she now tell us Dalad Meos Zuhuvim Biskoro. There was this Zona somewhere in an island, the Bahamas, I don't know, in Hawaii, that her salary for znus, for an act of immorality, is 400 gold coins. Shigela Arbameh Zuhuvim Bekovel Azman. He sent her, this is not COD, this is paid her in advance, but they're going to fire her this one. He sent her the $400, probably the bank check, I guess you have to make sure it's clear, certified check. Or 400 gold, I don't know how he sold her, and then he made her a time. I'll meet you, this is his day. She gives not a bov yoshev al pesa. Nich nitoshev kosa. This is the zona who had her shit already, you know, what's that zona? She had had her, you know, her own staff. A staff? Aunt, yeah? Amala. Oh, he said like this. Also, Adam Shashigal of Dalme Azubin Bo told Kali, can Bo Vyashav Ala Pesa. Omrahi Yikonik, let him come in. This month he came in, here's his donor. He CLO Zion Mito Shays, Zion Mito Shays Shoketa, with six beds of silver, the Achas Shozov, and one of gold. Uben kolachas v'yachas sulam shel kesef v'yoyona shel zov. Just to increase his passion, she had, there were seven beds, which is not crazy. Six were made from silver, one was made from gold, and there were silver ladders, and then the seven had a gold ladder. Also v'yoshva agabi elyona, she aruma. She was naked and she went to the top bed. Afu ola leishav orim kenegda. He went up to the Tapet also. Bo dalet tzitziyosa v'tavkalo alpona. But as he was about to undress in the top bed, his tzitzis were there. Nishmat v'yoshevo agabe karka. He saw the tzitzis, and I wish it said what? V'lo sasu v'achel v'avkan v'achel v'nechem. You should not stray after your eyes. You should nus, we discussed before. And he just couldn't do it. That's right, that's his zone in my frame, right? That's right. Even though he wasn't have a tendency to do this act of snus, he can't do it. Afi nishpatov v'yoshla gabe karka. So now here she is all alone in the top bed, and what she's going to do, they're going to do what she's going to do there. She came down. Omelo gapo shel romi. She swore by some Roman god. She'eni manichatka achatomali ma mumra isabi. She figured, well, he came up with some 400 gold coins, traveled to the island, went up six flights, got to the top of the bed, and he just suddenly ran away. He must have found some blemish in her, some physical blemish, and here she was, this perfect. Tell me, I'll go get a plastic surgery, I guess. I don't even tell what's in the book. Amala ha'avoda shlorisi isha yofa kamosa. I never in my life saw a woman as beautiful as you. Ela mitzvah achas tivano Hashem Elokeinu v'tzitzit shema. God gave us the mitzvah tzitzit. Uksiv v'ani Hashem Elokeichem shtei pamim. Ani hu she'osu l'pora v'ani hu she'osu l'shalem tzar. Achshav nidmo alai k'dalet eidim. these four strings that came out are like four witnesses against me, not to sin. Amaro, Aini Manichacha Chatomali Mashimcha, Umashem Ircha, Umashem Rabcha, Umashem Midrashcha Shatalama Batorah. He wrote down, I guess she wouldn't get a guard, wouldn't go otherwise. I would never have written down my name and address in this because we're trying. What's this worth? What's the news day? So he writes his name and his city's name and his Rebbe's name and the yeshiva's name. Yitzchokhana? Bet? Kosa v'nasa v'yada. Omda v'chilka kol v'chosea. This woman who has made all this money in ill repute got up and gave away all the money. Shlish l'malchus. One third taxes. Shlish l'aniyim. A third to four people. Ushlish not the other chutz me'altem atzov. She took the third of the money and those six gold silver beds and one gold bed. She put it. Who bought for the Beis Midrash of the Rebbe Chia. Well, there's one that gets the Rabbi Achia. Amala Rebbe Savei alai v'yatsuni giyoret. Make me a giyoret. Amala biti shema einecha nos einayach nosata v'yachem en atamidim. Maybe you have eyes on one of our students. That's why you want to become a giyoret. Hosiyah sav miyada v'nos nalo. She took out a piece of paper, told them the entire story. And she says, "L'shem Shemayim Miskayeres." He heard this amazing neis that could sit and save him from sin. Amalo l'chi zik zechi b'mikkei. Go, I'm to convert you. Now I can marry him. Osen matzol sheitzielo b'yisur yitzielo b'heter. Zeh matan tzara b'olam hazeh. To a millionaire overnight. One third of a fortune, plus all these gold and silver beds and everything, which you could probably sell and take that wooden bed. Well, the whole of boy near the Akama. Who knows? So this guy with his blue sisters was not saved from the ship. He was a student in the yeshiva. A smichim of the yeshiva. Not our yeshiva. A shrum yeshiva. Quote unquote. Ran away with a shiksa with his wife and three kids. With his Bluetooth. I was opposed to Bluetooth even before that story. Now I'm violently opposed to Bluetooth. It's indicated to you somehow you view yourself as to be a cut above, you know, somehow. And if you can take liberties, you know. You want to live with a shiksa and live with his wife at the same time. Don't ever wonder. I'm not telling you all the gory details. I'm just saying, if you're a Razina Chassid, you do everything what the Razina Chassidim do. You go with a beard and pails and a kapote and you wear garments and you do all the various things which will keep you away from sin and you want to wear blue scissors, fine. But if you have, as this guy had an office, a man who did not have a beard, did not have pails, did not go with a long coat, had an office where, that's where you might remember, this is where the secretary. Where there was people, I was never in his office, Baruch Hashem. This is my shul, where they told me that the secretary would go with their miniskirts up to here, mamish up to here. So he fell for one of the blondes. Oh, by the way, she was married. She was married to a fireman. So he gave enough money that she should divorce the fireman and run away with him. You know, just a dumb blonde. I kid you not, this is a story in real life. The blue kids. That was a little bit of a digression. Let's go back a little bit. She has nothing against Chelas. In the time of the Gemara, because Chelas was, of course, the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Asur Binyan, and they had Chelas. The Mesora was lost. I don't know exactly how it was lost. A lot of Mesoras were lost. This is one of them. It is strange. We don't know what happened to it. They just had a certain fish. I'm not exactly sure when it was lost. The Razina wrote three books. Ain at Chelas. Ain't with an eye, right? And it's somehow little. I don't know what the word Caleb. And he goes, you know what about it a lot? Rav Hertz says himself, not president who was honored, being honored for Hanukkah this Sunday, who was not exactly observant, but his father, Zetzal, was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. The beautiful Isaac HaLevi Herzog wrote a whole treatise. He also thought he maybe himself found the people. I don't believe him either. He wasn't sure either. He really didn't. I don't believe him either. My rabbi told me he did the right or wrong, so then that ends the end of it. Anyway, so you have chelet about that. And if you have a linen garment, the only way you can possibly fulfill chelet is if you have kilayim. Because chelet has to be woolen blue wool, and dyed with chilazol. And we can only have woolen linen, which is ordinarily considered to be kilayim. V'zei l'anu lomar, she'e otzu l'lubosh pala shel tishta. Hey, that's to say, don't wear a linen garment at all. Because if you wear a linen garment, you have to have kilayim with your tishta shel tichelet. B'shem de'evshar below v'shel semer. Don't wear a linen garment, wear a woolen garment. Says Tosfos, de'ein de'choshev evshar. That's not called Epshon. That's not called Epshon. Not called Epshon. Why? I want to wear linen. Don't tell me I should only wear linen. You became my fashion stylist now? You tell me I can only wear wool and not linen? What is it? You're dictating what kind of garment I'm allowed to wear? I want to wear linen. I'm a fancy guy. Now the Torah said you have to have chelet, so memela is going to be kilayim. It's eiyash of the kaim shneim. So ha, daminim beperek at chelet, kol amatos chelet b'sadon b'yushalayim, ein olam an amatmin, u'mufarish b'gemara, g'zeir mishim kol ilam, a g'zeir kadim of a fraudulent chelet, blue dye is not chelet, u'krak, u'parach lo'yeh al-olam, big deal. Even if that's considered white, still, we should say, I say the halal, so I say. Umishani, Esha b'mino k'divish lokish, t'yomar, kol mokam shata, what? What shata v'chule? What's v'chule? K'diyofa l'kayim shneim, you should, if you have to l'kayim shneim, you have a day, v'it halal, so I say. Hosom vadai, k'even the lekat chelet, ela kol lovon, mitzvah lovon, Esha l'kayim b'mino. This is no chelet, it turns out, because the brulu is fraudulent. Then you had no right. You had no right to use woolen tzitzit for a linen garment. You should have used linen tzitzit for the linen garment, and therefore you are in violation. You thought that you were not in violation because you thought the blue was real honest to goodness tailor. Then you would have said it's impossible. Otherwise, I say the chalosa say you were duped. It turns out to be fraudulent chelet, so it's the equivalent of white. If it's the equivalent of white, you could have just as well had white from linen. And white from linen would have had the mitzvah without the aveira. Therefore, you are in violation. This is the terrace of the reef. Period. We're going to stop in Tosfos now. As I told you, on Monday, we're going to have to learn the Rabbeinu Tam, which is very critical. We'll analyze the Rav's explanation. But before we get to that, we have already discussed a few things about this part of the Tosfos. First, what is Tosfos saying? What is Tosfos driving at over here? What are they telling you? After all, it is actually the left of the Kayim Shnei. They didn't really explain themselves. So I told you that to look up in Rabbi Chanan. Kovet Shirin. Kelet Bey. Simon Mem. This cousin Dalet to Zion, correct? Tosfos Tzubasaf Mem. He quotes the read. What does it mean? The Chora Nira Kavanosim came and she wrote a little bosh talash al pishta. Lo havi eshem hashiyach a little bosh talash al sen. Look, I want to wear linen. Who said I could have worn wool? I want to wear linen. I call Iyab to the Kaim Shnei. Well, if he's there, Kohen Shinaku lo shtei avamet. Following case. The Kohen has a brother. It's Reuven Kohen and Shimon Kohen. And Reuven Kohen is married to two wives. One was a Grusha.
how he married Rusha. Well, he could have been at the either be Yitzir, or maybe he was a Cholol somehow or other. And one ain't a Grusha. Now Reuben died. Shimon is his brother. He has to do Yibum. It's a choice of doing Yibum on two women. We call them Rachel and Leah. Rachel is a Grusha, Leah is not a Grusha. So the rabbis tell him, do Yibum with Leah. Because we have the assay of Yibum, but at the low assay of Grusha. Isha, Grusha, Lo Yikav, right? No! I like Rachel. She has blue eyes. Says the Mechonim, the Chorokon was toasted over here. I mean, liking Rachel over Leah is, you know, to my mind, is more understandable than liking linen over wool. You say, I want linen over wool, and I refuse to be convinced otherwise. To Kavachom, I want Rachel over Leah. Oh, hold on one second. Similarly, let's get out of the women's story. Let's talk about food. All the Eitzahara. Food. He has two matzahs. One is Chodosh and one is Yashar. But the Yashar is really Yashar. It's so stale. It's already it's 10 years ago. And the Chodosh is fresh. And he says, you have a rule, I want to eat the fresh matzah. I can fulfill the mitzvah with the stale matzah, which is Yashar. No, I want Chodosh. Despite the lav d'oraisa of the lechem, the kol, the chamel, the sofa, it's a meal as there. Not these new grain until after the second day paper. So you can choose the chadosh, he said. The thing of the fun is that it can't be impossible. On Eitan Le'yomek, wow, that's out of the question. So that's out of the question. How can this guy wear his linen garment with shopman? Let him wear a wool garment. Says that Bukhana Tute would hurt. Matzah cannot chayav eat more than one kazai. Yibum, one yevamah. You have no right to be over alive when you can fulfill the mitzvah of the heaven. But by tzitzit, each and every garment is chayav in tzitzit. If you wear two garments, you have to put on tzitzit on both of them. Vim came mitzvah, talis zu. He answered the time of talis acheret. You'll tell him where linen, where wool. So werewolf. Now I want linen. No, werewolf. Okay, I'll werewolf. Now I want linen. Say werewolf. Okay, werewolf. Now I want linen. I want three woolen garments. Do I have 30? 18? And I want another garment of linen. Every garment is an extra mitzvah, special mitzvah. So in this talis, it's an ish of the Karnstein. That's the Bachan's first distinction. First distinction. What does that really mean? When we learn on Monday with the Rav's Torah, we'll see with a greater length what it really means. Whoa, hold on a second. What happened in the following case of Rav Chana? Two Yevamim. Before we get to that. Second distinction, Kitkan Vav. Matzah. Well, I eat matzah first in my Pesach. I eat matzah primarily for the sake of mitzvah. Yibum. Supposed to be, ideally, for the sake of mitzvah. I'm supposed to be inspired by the sake of mitzvah. I should not do an avera at the same time if I can fulfill the same mitzvah without the avera. I can eat old matzah and I can have married this woman, miyam this woman who is not a grusha. When it comes to talis, the garment that I wear, that's a mitzvah? No way. I wear a garment which is in high style. Which keeps me warm, or which does not keep me so warm, or which looks nice, as the case may be, this color, that color. You may choose your wardrobe based on your particular needs and desires, style-wise, material-wise, color-wise, whatever it may be. Once you wear the talis of whatever color and or whatever material, then the Torah imposes upon you a chiyuv of tzitzit. Even should start off a little bosh talis do for his own personal needs, ain't law shabal a chayv a little bosh talis acheres. Kevin the beggar there should start off law yevshal the chayv a mitzvah better. If you're doing an actual shame mitzvah, you are required to do the mitzvah without an aveira. But if you're doing an actual shame hanor, since that once you do the actual shame hanor, the Torah imposes the mitzvah upon you, you have every right to choose the mitzvah and do the shame of your own hanor. If it's say immaterial, but that's such a bad problem. And it's immaterial what material it's made from. Whether it's linen, whether it's wool, you pick bigger upon what you want to use for your style. And later on, you'll say, oh, but now Nebuch said I like linen. And afterwards, Chelet, I have no choice but to wear Kalai. So be it. The Yashal is kind of shame in the garment of my choice. And my choice is based on physical consideration, not spiritual consideration. That's Nebuch on the second step. No, Master. No, but Master, you're supposed to see Master is primarily the shame business. Who does I know? Supposed to be Yavin, the shame business. Who does I know? But he's supposed to be done for a mitzvah. Here, wearing a garment, that's what's done for a mitzvah. Where do I like a garment? Later on, I have to worry about the mitzvah too. That's the Bechon and second distinction. That's the Tzad involved. We'll discuss that Monday, Shia. Bottom is the Tzad and Zion. The following Shiloh. There are two Yavamis. Reuben and Cohen died. So these two brothers, Shimon and Cohen, Levi and Cohen. But Levi HaKohen is a follow. How so? How is Levi a follow? Let's say their mother, who will remain nameless, well, I take it back, it's not her fault. Her mother was Zivul al Apostle between the birth of Shimon, and between the birth of Reuben and Shimon, and the birth of Levi. That's why she was attacked, or she was willingly lived, whatever she did. And then she had another child with her husband, of course. Did a DNA test, did everything, the whole story. So now he's a fellow, because he's a product of a Kohen, and a woman who's prohibited to the Kohen. Okay? Now, and now, Reuven died, as I told you before, and Reuven's wife was the Grusha. But right, did he have to marry the Grusha? I don't know, but that's the way it was. Okay, I'm going to make it the following case. We'll change it around. Reuben was born first, then Shimon, then Reuben's mother was Zivul al Apostle, and then she had Shimon and Levi. Shimon was married to this Cholol. That's what he did. He's a Cholol. Now Shimon died. Two brothers. Reuben is a Kohen Gomer, Kohen Kosher, and Levi is a Cholol. His wife is a Grusha. May Reuben be Miyabim. Should we say, yeah, Reuben? Reuben will say, hey, I want to be Abba. I prove to me to say no halos to say. My brother Levi, then I stay with no halos to say. Yeah, but why should I give Levi the mitzvah? I want the mitzvah. You the mitzvah. For me personally, it's the Yashu of the Kaim Shneim. True for Levi, it's the Yashu of the Kaim Shneim. But not for me. Should we say to him that Reuben has the right to be Abba? Or should we say, no, Reuben, don't do that. Let Levi be Abba. He'll have the mitzvah. You won't have any of it. No one have any of it. That's the Bechon and Shiloh. Here in Sittat Zion. Interesting Shiloh. What an interesting Shiloh. You're ideally, but that's just a lechat chila. No, all brothers have the best. The first one is Kadima, priority, that's all. Now, so... only one, if everyone does it. Could be anyone. Right, that's right. They're both saying, well, one more Sakuta Nitosis. That's from the Elton Zeta Pnei Yeshua. He's a Hesher, he's not sure. He's not sure. Doesn't know. Doesn't know. All right. By the way, at the end he says, by Shtei Yevamos, he said, Eshel the Kain Shnei. Remember that? The two Yevamos, that only goes according to those who maintain that a woman is not chayiv in the midst of Yibum. So therefore she's not chayiv in Puruvu, as so you said before, of course they're not the drum. Tosfos in Yishonah and Aladat seem to say that she's also chayiv in Yibum, as I mentioned to you yesterday. But the subject of two Yevamin, the same as something with a part of two Yavamot. Do we say that for the Yavam it's the time of stand to marry the other woman? Or not? With the challenge I had before would be only be relevant according to this point of view. I wanted to mention one Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua is the following shot. A noob shot, because the stars in the sky, we said. Why it's called Eshel the time of stand? He quotes a fascinating Mordechai. So Mordechai is wondering if a person is wearing a talit on Shabbos and he finds out the tzitzis became puffed. They ripped. What do you do? Take it off, right? That's what we would say. Take it off. He says, no, you don't take it off. Why? We would say you don't take it off. You're over an issur. Not an issur. A bitl asay. Give the vata the asay of our two lamb tzitzis because they're wearing a four-cornered arm without strings attached. You got covered up here. Somebody's no problem covered up here. We assume, let's say today, you suddenly find it again puffed. You say, take it off. Okay? On Shabbos, you don't have to take it off. Why? Because he says, the reason I have to take it off on Thursday, because I have a mitzvah that I say right now to put on strings. And every second that I wear the gong without strings, I'm going to vatal mitzvah that I say, got to take it off. On Shabbos, I can't put on strings. If I can't put on strings, says the Mordechai, there's no bitl mitzvah asay. Because, it, one second, because I can't do it. If I can't do it, I'm allowed to wear the garment without stitches. If that's the case, it's the Pnei Yeshua, Zeich, and Tzadik, Livracha. Like this. It's impossible to say that it's also to wear a linen garment. Zayn Lomar, she also lilbos talo shal pishtan. That's not called Efsha. So they assure there's the following explanation. You know why it's not called? If you were to say, catch this now, it's a genius move. If you were to say that if you're wearing a linen garment, it's impossible to put on a woolen string dyed blue, because the Efsha is a kind of shneim, the result would be exactly the reverse of what you think. Not that you cannot wear the woolen garment, you may not wear the linen garment, but on the contrary. You may wear the linen garment with no tzitzit. Since the halacha said you may not put on tzitzit, okay, so therefore it's like Shabbos. A whole year Shabbos. Shabbos, you can't put on any strings, so therefore you can wear without strings. So too over here, if you're wearing a linen garment, we wouldn't say, you can't say, well, you're not allowed to wear the garment, wear something else. That's impossible. The alternative would be you're allowed to wear without stitches. So that's not really so viable either. So at least you're allowed to wear it. So we can't say the whole also says, and this garbage is Efshalakayim Shneir. That Mordechai was quoting a re. She was the reason she tells me. Here's the only re, and then Mordechai was quoting a re. That's the link of the Pnei. She was establishing the two re's. Yes? Okay, so maybe I postpone it until Monday. Monday is Beggar Day. Monday is Beggar Day. Oh, you learned about, you see the Mamma Thomas? Yes, what's the moment up? Today? Yesterday, my Makama. So you have to put on strings on a four-corner garment in your closet, in your drawer, Kli Kufsa. Shmuel said yes. Believe it or not. We paskin? No. Did you see the Mayama Thomas? That the Bach, that the Chidushia goes, says that it's the Chovas Palace? Did you make your eyes pop? Should have. What do you mean? So we have to have it in the drawer also? So that's what you need to rub shear for. So let's take a pause for half a minute. We'll say goodbye for the moment to Tzumas. We'll discuss a little bit about Ner Chanukah. And then we'll discuss our other minyanim. Lee Kupsis, you get in the body. Not on your body. But both sides, a major controversy about Ner Chanukah. Oh, Rabbi Wagner, Shalom Aleichem. No? Came at the right time. This is in the middle of Bein HaFrokim, between the Yonim. Now, there were 100 students signed a petition in Mus Hall complaining that they want to be able to light a menorah in their room. Or whatever. Out in the front door of their room. As opposed to lighting downstairs near the memorial tablets, for lack of a better term. I want to explain to you what the shaila is about briefly. Let me explain to you what the shaila b'chlal, Reuben and Morg as well, what's the shaila b'chlal in Mos. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Halacha Lamaisa, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in the Sefer Shabbos. Where are you supposed to light the Ner Hanukkah? So you know, in the olden days, the configuration was as follows. There was a bayit, a home, that led into a courtyard, a chotzer, and that chotzer led into a mavoy, an alleyway. Now the question is, where do you light the menorah? The Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. The Mechava Pasen Zaktosis. Ner Chanukah Simen Tafresh Ayin Aleph Zifei. Menicho Al Pesach Asomach L'Shisarav Mi Bachut. Im Abayis Vesuol L'Shisarav Menicho Al Pesach Yisto. Im Yesh Chotzer L'Pnei Abayis. Menicho Al Pesach HaChotzer. So I live here. We're on the board. If I live here,
wow.
We open it to a common chutzpah, okay? And the chutzpah leads it to, call it a marvel. And here will be my way. This is not this is right. Two bathrooms into a chutzpah, so I guess this is our chutzpah here. Alright? Where do you light? The Rashi says you light over here. And Tosfos the Shulchan Aruch say you light over here. Close to the left side. So this is here. You light over here. According to Shulchan Aruch. So the big question is, what's the equivalent place of Mount Hazor? What's the equivalent place to the Pesach HaPasuach Me'achotel HaMogu? The major machlokas of the Gedolim in Yerushalayim a generation ago, Eretz Yisrael a generation ago, in our apartment house. The Bris Kerov says you light in the lobby downstairs. Ideally outside. Yerushalayim may have people do light outside because they have these glass encased menorahs, protected from the elements. If you don't have that, you light in the lobby on the inside. Why? Because every apartment is a bayit. Every hallway, you know, the second floor and the first floor, all the floors, it's considered what? A chotzer. And the street is a mavoy. And then Rechov Yafo is Mishnah Sarab. I don't know what, whatever you want to call it. That's what the Bris Kerov was quoted as saying. The Chazon Ish disagreed. Chazon Ish said like this, in the olden days, their chotzer was used for many things, used to be used. So what's their status? So here was air when it's the summer, comes out of the whole city is called one big chotzer. There's no three levels, bayis, chotzer, mavoy, something called a chotzer. But in Hilkas Chanukah, the Chazon Ish paskin, you can't light over here. This is not a place where you walk around in your pajamas and your other things they used to do in the chaseris of old, but they, you know, Kosten, the pain of Isi in Yerushalayim and HaKodesh, me amazigin bachut, shezikyo al pesach knitsa lefaktar beito, o lefaktar madrego. They didn't like upstairs in their apartment. They lived downstairs on the entrance to the stairway, or entrance to the lobby downstairs. That's the meaning of the Brisker Rav, the meaning of the Yerushalayim in many places. But isn't the Chazanish right? Isn't the Chazanish right? Hey, what is it for us? Isn't the Chazanish right that today people don't use the lobbies as much as they used to? Okay? But Shner got an order on the Shemin Kuf Mem Gimel as follows. The Av She'en Mishkan Shem Ayom V'Madrego Tumov V'Chatzer Shemban Chazal, he's aware of that fact. Nevertheless, Nirish is in Pesach, Achotev, and Achanaka, Eina B'Pnei Shem Mokom Kashmish, the administration doesn't want it, so I can't go against the administration. An individual goes against the administration, then life is real. No, it's happened. I can't take responsibility for that. Rabbi Elstad, we have to now talk about part three of Philadelphia. Yes. Yeah.
So why would the entrance to Canada not be made closer to the entrance to Canada? Based on the framework of the
tribes that I may be arrived at, it's more, but that's really, I think it's more dangerous. You know, high school got through that map section there, kind of running there, it's really not. Running around for 2 hours. Not around. Running around. The way I would recommend to do it is to do it at 7 o'clock after they already ran out. But there's no mitzvah to light up at 4:35. I told people if they have 3,000 candles there already, wait 2 hours. I tell them, to my mind, it's better you should light the menorah, not the only. To make it the only one, by the way, there's 2 in the morning. There's also Muslim issues. The 2 is easily Muslim. I would have told 3, what is it, 3? Until 3, I think, is Muslim. This is Shiva up till 3 o'clock, no question, right? No question. So you light it at 2:30 in the morning, you light the menorah at 3, and you'll be the only one. Wow, there's too many Eastern. I really say, I'm not kidding. I think it's better to light later when there's no the menorah lit than to light everyone at 5 o'clock. Big thing. Oh, I'm not something wrong. If you make a shaliach to remind you to light, or if you have no shaliach, you set your alarm watch.
So I can leave a note on the desk.
Okay, let's do that too. Yeah, that's probably the answer. Yes? So if you're coming to your own home, you have 2 choices. You can light either in your own home or in the yeshiva. But they're both your home. Home away from home, I don't know. They have 2 homes. If you're having just some kind of Shabbat home somewhere, then you must light when you reach your destination. That's not really your home. That's not your home. Okay? Yes. The lawn? They light outside the house. If you have an entrance, but most people don't have that. They just have a gate, let's say. Picket fence. You should light them in a glass closed case by the picket fence and you enter close to the house. Yeah. Zakana. I was advisable with Zakana. Kids are past lying or they'll have some fun. Let's go. We have some important things to talk about today. Today we said we have a very important assignment. We're going to read 2 letters today in the ongoing series of Shalom Bayis. The first is the conclusion of the letter of Chazanish, Zatzal, and the second is the letter of his brother-in-law, the disciple of Zatzal. The Chazanish writes as follows. Catch this line. The Tzarek l'Amesh l'Tznaig v'Ofen Yosef Mekurov u'v'yichos yad yomim l'Tznol she'en od avachutzi ela atzmi. End quote of Chazanish. You're supposed to try your best in your relationship with your wife to deal with her in a close manner as your right hand would deal with the left hand. The relationship of your right to your left hand is not something external. My right hand is internal, that's my strong hand, the one I write with, and everything like that. The left hand is like somebody else, like your hand. Not that way. The left hand is part of you. As the left hand...
Gimel. He records the custom. The pain of Yisri Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Me'ara Ligin Bachut. Shediku al Pesach Knitsa L'Chastar Beito. O L'Chastar Madrego. They didn't like upstairs in their apartment. They lived downstairs on the entrance to the stairway, or entrance to the lobby downstairs. That's the middle of the Brisker Road, the middle of the Yerushalayim in many places. But isn't the Chazanish right? The book has my name. What is it for? Isn't the Chazanish right that today people don't use the lobbies as much as they used to? Okay? But Shnerbeth, in order to run a similar school from Gimel, it follows. The Avsha aimed the Shtam Shem Ayom with my Dregos from over Chateres from Man Chazal. He's aware of that fact. Nevertheless, Nirish is in Pesach, Achotiv, and Achanaka, and other nations, Mokom, Kashmish, the Bible is the Bible. Even granting the Chazanish say that our Chateras and our Chateras and the Erevin, when it's kind of gets different. I want to add another point. And perhaps even the Chazanish who insisted in the apartment house of B'nai Barak, that they light in their apartment and not downstairs in the lobby, perhaps he only said it in the full-fledged apartment house, where every family lives in its four walls. Has all the facilities there, has a bedroom, and has a living room, and has a dining room, and has a kitchen, and has everything is there. And they were, that's it, that's their private domain. And the lobby is really very public. They wouldn't walk around in the bathroom in the lobby. They wouldn't eat in the lobby. But it seems to me that a dormitory situation we have in the yeshiva, guys wear less than bathrobes in the lobby. Okay, but in the halls, okay. The case may be. And guys do things, and you know, they only have one little room by themselves. They don't do a lot of things out of the room. So maybe even the Chazanish should be more than the yeshiva situation that is different than the apartment house. For this reason, it seems to me that it's permissible to light in the Reuven and in the ward opening to the outside street. Because of the Pesach of Sternberg, because of the Pesach of the Skarov, and maybe even the Chazanish would agree in a dormitory situation. Must on one little complicating factor. And that is, that there's no real opening to the street, which is appropriate. No, there's no. It's like 187th Street. Most people don't go that way. There's no thing in that way. It's not an appropriate place. On the other hand, all the way down by the way, to the sukkah, you know, down on the way to the Beit Medrash. Also, you go to the stairwell, there's no place to put it. And where? By the guard station in Amsterdam Avenue. The first one, man, that's out of the house if you go the other way. And then it's a little bit far removed. So therefore, the decision was to put the Chazanish light on the way down, if you will, from the hallways, which is where they're sitting for our purposes, looking at the Yichotem, down towards the Mavu, which means towards either 187th Street or towards the entranceway to, you know, the behind the Beit Medrash, a little outside entranceway. And even though it's not directly there, it's good enough. You don't have to have a Bedavki in that particular place. It's nearby, I think the post can say, according to the post that says, Pesach Pesuach Li Rishus Rabin. If you do it a little further in, it's also good. That's the basis for that stock. So you're right, it must be a little bit more of a shadow than the other two. But I believe that there is certainly ground to be made in the other dorms, and even in Muslim grounds to be made. If someone else has a different shita, a different kumar, I can't fault him. But in terms of the yeshiva policy, you can't say there's no one to rely on, because obviously it's encrypted. So, and there are other policies that encrypted the same thing. I'll be honest with you, when I was in the dorm, that's what I did.
I was in dorm 2 years. 1 year I was in the morgue, and I lived. different years, different color, different, everything was different. Those years they gave the colonists the fancy suites on the second floor. Not the editors, the presidents, and all the other stuff. The colonists, what they called them over here, because the single boys in the color were given the yichud. It's time to change. I lived in the window, and the second year I was there, so I had to be kicked out and sent to Musk, which then called Retour. But then I lived. I opened the door to my room, and I lived in on a chair, right in the opening to the wall. My room faced nowhere. It faced up the window, inside nowhere. And this way, I was right across from the back of the bathrooms over the stairwell, the middle stairwell is, get the sign? The middle stairwell, right? Which I used to use every day, under with Kanaka. And I was on the third floor. My room, they said, look at that. Steve. I'm very proud. My room is a very cool Steve. Beautiful. So that's where I live. But the administration doesn't want it, so I can't go against the administration. If an individual goes against the administration, then life is real. No, it happened. I can't take responsibility for that. I've also had to talk about part three of this year. Yeah.
Why was the entrance to Canada not the most closest to the entrance to Melbourne? Based on the stream of drivers that are in
it, and I may be arriving. It's going to be really, I think it's more dangerous. High school got filled and nap stretched there and kind of running there. It's really not.
The
dog says.
No, yeah, the question is that the office. Can I see the
dog behind us? Running on the stairs, I don't know. Running around for 2 hours. Not around, running around. The way I would recommend to do it is to do it at 7 o'clock after they already ran out. That is no mitzvah to light up at 4:35. I told people if they have 3,000 candles there already, wait 2 hours. I tell them, to my mind, it's better you should light the menorah, not the only. You make it the only one, but it's 2 in the morning. It's also Muslim, you see. The 2 is easily Muslim. I would have told 3, what is it, 3? Like until 3, I think it's Muslim. This is Yeshiva up till 3 o'clock, no question, right? No question. So you light it at 2:30 in the morning. You light Kim and Oris at 3. And you'll be the only one. Rob, it's too many things. I really say, I'm not kidding. I think it's better to light later when there's no one knows lit than to light everyone at 5 o'clock. Big thing. No, about nothing wrong. If you make a shaliach to remind you to light, or if you have no shaliach, you set your alarm watch. So go. Okay, let's do that too. Yeah, that's probably the answer. Yeah? Maybe. Yes. So if you're coming to your own home, you have two choices. You can write either in your own home or in the yeshiva. Because they're both your home. Home and home away from home. I don't know. You have two homes. If you have just some kind of Shabbat home somewhere, then you must fight when you reach your destination. That's not really your home. It's your home. Okay? Yes. A lawn? They light outside the house. I mean, if you have an entrance, but most people don't have that. They just have a gate, let's say. Picket fence. You should light them in a glass enclosed case by the picket fence and I wouldn't advise you, it's not going to be. Here's the pet lion or the last fun. Let's go, we have some important things to talk about today. Today we said we have a very important assignment. We're going to read two letters today in the ongoing series of Shalom Bayis. The first is the conclusion letter of Kazanish, Zatzal, and the second is the letter of his brother or disciple, Zatzal. The Kazanish writes as follows. Catch this line. The Tzarek list Amet Zitznaig Ba'ofen Yosem Akurov Ubiyichot Yad Yemin Nismol She'eno Davachutzi Ela Atzmi. End quote of Chazanish. You're supposed to try your best in your relationship with your wife to deal with her in a close manner as your right hand would deal with the left hand. The relationship your right to your left hand, not something external. My right hand is internal, that's my strong hand, the one I write with, and everything like that. Left hand is like somebody else, like your hand. Not that way. The left hand is part of you. As the left hand hurts, it hurts you all over. That's how a person has to treat a marriage relationship. If your wife hurts herself, you got hurt. I think in that myth book, but in one of the other books, they quote of Ari Levine. Ari Levine went with his wife to a doctor. And was foot done, right? Because his doctor, what's the problem? So Rabbi Arya answered back, our foot hurts. Our regal shalat of kolevet. Our foot hurts. He experienced the pain when his wife had a cut on her foot, something that hurt her when she stepped down. He said, our foot hurts. Now that's a migraine. That's what you have to feel. Your wife is tired or weak or she has a stomach ache or a headache. It hurts you too. The Indian, by the way, there was I read about this once, had a civilization where the woman was in childbirth. Huh? Yeah? The woman was in childbirth that her husband would experience labor pain. I mean, I don't know how that's done. But they must be another big of a virality. I don't know how that civilization had it. I mean, I was with my wife and she was in childbirth many times. I never experienced anything. I've never thrown me. I can't say our stomach hurts. Like, it wasn't that much right there. I wasn't. I mean, certainly it pained me to see her pain, but I couldn't honestly say that it hurt me in the stomach. It hurt me in my head. I watching her rise in pain. But they felt it in the stomach. Mama said, seen it from Ira Levine in the Indians. Wow. That's what he's saying. It's like a right hand and a left hand. Amazing. That's the chart. It has to be like one unit. One unit. How do you achieve that one unit? You quote it from Rav Dessler, Kuntri Sachetet. You give to your wife. The more you give to her, the more you're at one with her. You're considered part of her and she's part of you. And for this reason, that which concerns her should concern you. The small talk. You mentioned this last week. She's telling about what happened with the Sheikh Lamako. She's telling what happened with the carpool. You know, he took the kids and someone came late to the carpool. Who doesn't want to be obligated to people, to be beholden to people? He denies the fact that somebody did him a favor. Of course, co-fair to co-fair. If I admit the favor, I'm beholden. Or, as he puts it, Fui told me, he turns it upside down, which he interprets to mean, you limit the favor. I interpret it to mean the second part. Your model is a raw tapas tova, to demonstrate that you don't want to be beholden. Quote the Chassan Sofer. Somebody did him a terrible injustice, said the Chassan Sofer. I don't remember doing him such a big favor, except because now he has to do me such an injustice. Ask any rabbi in the school to say that too. The more favor you do to him, the more likely you are to do you an injustice. Why? This is psychological insight. Doesn't want to be beholden to you. He has to show that he's not beholden to you, he'll do you in. The first of all that Torah is told is to recognize that it's true. Oh God, bowels and tomatoes, it's a record to admit that somebody do a favor. And once you admit it, you have to then thank. The same with Shoresh. Modem in two things. Hodoaz Balzim. I admit that it's true.
And Moda means Moda Eni Lefanecha. I thank you. If you admit that this person did you a favor, you have to say thank you. Two go together. You find by the great people that some of them are famous 20 years ago, they haven't forgotten it yet. They're still ready to say thank you and do whatever they can to pay back the favor. No question? They asked me to speak to Karen Biabra last night, because I mentioned some of you may know, in Lawrence. I felt like going to Lawrence, like you felt like going to. I said, I can't say no. The yeshiva can send me anywhere in the world on I'll go. I already went to the city of California, maybe close to, Mr. Beishir or something like that, but I go to California. I don't want to go to California. But I learned from the yeshiva. That's what I call it the soul. You just say, well, I learned from the yeshiva, and then that's it. After a Torah, a soul, people did you a favor. Somebody did a member of my family a favor. I thought yesterday was a town, very sure. I called him up. He was tremendously grateful to you because you did a member of my family a favor. He was so appreciative that I called him up to say thank you. But really it is. Very important. So what should I make my life? I'll make a little bit of money. This is why I make a pun. I work so hard to make a living. She's staying at home. Well, what else am I to thank her for? The Gemara Yevamah says, "Not same sin as son of Gimel." Rabbi Yossi met Eliyahu Hanavi. He asked him, "Ask about Asia Kenegdo. How does a woman help her husband?" So Eliyahu answered him, "A man brings home grain that he eats until separation. If I ask, does he have a shiva?" Sound like he was a post-truma surgeon. I should try pulling a wire into some kind of a dispensation. Say, I'm not the Pope, I can't get a dispensation. Did you have a Rosh Hashiva? Yes. Who talks to him? He won't talk to him. Won't talk to anybody. Comes home with a tremendous tension in the room. I said, invite company. It was a little bit of a Thursday night. I said, invite company for Shabbos. Klal Gadol. When there's tension in the house, invite company. Really, I had a couple that was getting divorced never. I told her, kept telling the woman to invite company. I said, protection. You shouldn't be the hit you, you shouldn't abuse you. You're a little bit, after all, a little bit deterred by the fact that other people in the room. I said, invite company. I don't know what happened. She never called me back, but it could be both ways, right? That people have a trouble with it. So when the woman is, I think most cases the woman is one of the divorced level with the man in general rule because of her mood swing. And he doesn't discuss another problem. This up in all the newspapers today. PMS. You know what that means? Premenstrual syndrome. It's been used in the court of law for a defense of murder. Really? Really, I'm not kidding. A woman killed somebody and her defense was it wasn't her fault. It was PMS. I'm not kidding. And I don't know if the guy, she got off for the jury. But that was a defense of a lawyer. She wasn't in control. And it's partially what could be said for it. Right before the period of expression. The woman is still in the house taking care of children. She can't afford to get sick. And who's going to take care of the whole family? That's what Eliyahu Navi said. You have to always say thank you. Woman makes supper, thank you. It's a Shabbos meal. It was delicious. I already said it last week and the week before. And the week before, the same chicken with the same kugel, the same etzi. It was delicious. She baked it again. She cooked it again. It was delicious. There's no, a woman has never tired of hearing a compliment about her cooking. Never. Never! So you tell the last thing that made it delicious. Say it again. Say it again. As a matter of fact, if he puts it, it's been light and self-interest. The more compliments you give to your wife for what she does, the more thanks you give, the more likely to do it again. And do it with a full heart, and do a great job. He quotes here that in the business world, they teach the receptionists and the cashiers to say thank you. They print on the basket, on the bag, toldal hidrov. So the business psychology says, say thank you. Why is Wallbound thanking you? And why is Stern says thank you? Yeah, thank you. Why do they say thank you? Because they learned it. A person says, "Did that? You said 100 times. It's part of your test. Doesn't matter." Howie says, "Hello." He walks, comes into the house. He's tired. So he got stuck in traffic on the way home, but the trains didn't work, and his face absolutely dumb. He walks into the house with a smile and say, "Hi, how are you? How are you feeling?" He says, "It's sort of like he's ready to die. He's ready to collapse." And he's required to say, "How are you? How's your day?" etc. He must always have divrei chizuk l'sameach aleihem. All the time. A word here, a word there. You have to call. I am a firm believer that unless it's an absolute emergency, every man is at work, his woman is home, what the wife is home, he has to call her every day. He's having lunch, he's having a bite, he doesn't eat lunch, he's going to eat a cake. Why having a cake if you get the phone and call your wife? I try almost every single day to do that. Very important. I want you to talk about nothing, doesn't matter. Checking in, how are you feeling, how are you doing, what's new? You're writing in your left hand. You wouldn't want to go 8 hours without your left hand. So you want to know how things are doing. That's a hazard issue. Now we move to the letter of the stipend. I'll read it to you first, and then he gets to just pay his Rashi gets to the stipend letter. The stuff of the Gemara. Ha'orav es ishto gegufo, makab di yosu gegufo, olav akos of omer, yodav et yisholom ha'olecho, which is the name of the book. Morning, if I'm a son of a baby. Uborur, she'em kavana chazal leov ishto mitzad avas ava ha'tivis l'noshim. What they call in Hollywood love. Love of the female sex. That's not what it means. Eloi ava misug avas chaveirim. It means love of a spiritual companion who happens to be a female. Yihi chaveiroso ve'eshes griso. She is his friend. And the woman who shares this covenant with him, this contract with him, this agreement with him, the Yeshlam and Yadim Mishutavim, and they have common goal. The Falechad Mitzayev and Mitzayev and Mizeh, each one helps and is helped by the other. The Chayin or Ava Mitzarakoras Tova, the love which comes from gratitude. She is Tayyar Vidato Idolo Haya Master Yishav Shemokin. If he couldn't get married, for Anisha Gamal, he means the whole life all by himself. How terribly lonely and painful he would be, how terribly painful it would be. Because of his wife, his whole life takes on an order. Inyan HaKorah is a total, he's got all the ancient. It's incredibly great, HaKorah, because we discussed it earlier this year. Kot Chazal, Kol HaKorah B'Tavosu Shal Chavera, Wissof Korah B'Tavosu Shal Kodom. If you're an ingrate to human beings who have done you a favor, you're next to be an ingrate to God. Val Ava Kazu Chivu Chazal. This is what the Ava is, the Chazal that you've almost had to obey. The Ava Zu Eina Mimidas HaTava Klau. This love is not lust. It's the love they speak of in Hollywood. Rak Me Ava Tamido Tatovo Shemuchu Yomim Muzer. This love is gratitude. It is one of the attributes that we're required to make proud of our lives. Ula kavana zu. It is in this intention. When a person wants to be happy at the moment of intimacy, ula fanel li acharel, and beforehand and afterwards, ain't the maguna chas v'sholem. It's not considered lustful and animalistic. Rak mitzvah. Vafilu ilu loya v'shuva lezeh. If there wouldn't be a pasuk v'chum v'sheir v'ksusa v'nazal l'igwa. The call came to Meshuvah the Zalbidin and for the letter. This is type of word to word. Now it gives interpretation. You know, God created within man an inner drive to do everything which is needed for the existence of the world. We have a drive to eat, a drive to sleep, a drive for married life. If he wouldn't have a drive to eat, speculate of Friedlander, we'd die of starvation. The average person, there's going to be no hunger. There's going to be no sense of hunger. But to remember when to eat. So, you know, you forget once, I'm busy. You might just drop dead one day from malnutrition. There's going to be no drive to sleep. You'd never be tired. So you probably just drop ultimately from this, you know, lack of it and the ability of your body to restore itself. So too, because it's necessary to become married to propagate the human race, Hashem had to build into a human being a drive. A drive. But this drive must be incorporated into Avodat Hashem. Yes, it means that the drive should be concentrated upon marriage towards one's wife. And it's everyone else is exclusive of everybody else. And I've mentioned you once before, it's not targeted to our the first part of the Shema, and others. It's a custom, an ancient custom, that when a couple gets married, the Kala buys the custom of Talib. An ancient custom. Why? He wants a museum show here by one of the people from the museum, Thomas Kaufman, was here in charge of that exhibit. And he explained that the source for it is follows. It says the Pasuk, he's giving a very clear hint to her husband. Well, you didn't till now, I don't know. Now we're getting married, you have eyes only for me. Your eyes may not, you never, ever, ever, have to tell another member of your family, a parent, a mother, a father, about a shortcoming in your wife. Never! Come for Loyama. You heard Loyama. You know what happens? The first thing that happens, so then the father's getting exaggerated in the mind of the parents. Oh, my son in the bed. Now my son is so great, and this woman he married is sorry, and it's no good. I can tell you within my family, my general family, of a case where in-laws almost broke up a perfect marriage. They perceived a certain shortcoming in the child-in-law, right, in the son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and they started making a whole time around. Unsolicited advice, telling their child that their spouse is no good. But don't ever run out. Months of things are passed up. Oh, I'll leave that check. Based on nothing. Based on nothing. You are never, ever to tell a parent about a shortcoming in a spouse. As far as even your parents are concerned, you're a unified front. And if a parent complains about your spouse, your case about your wife does something, if your mother will say, if a Hana didn't do this right, no reaction. Don't say, yeah, Ma, you're right, but now that's keep it, eh? You really think your mother really is right, your wife is wrong? Al Kain, Yaz, Al Ish, Es Ovid, the Asino, the Dabak, the Ishtov, Ayur Basarefa. There are mothers who have ruined marriages single-handedly. They won't let go. They won't let go. They want that the couple should be answerable to them. The son with the daughter-in-law, the daughter with the son-in-law. They have to call the shots because they've been calling for the last 20 years. The rest of these are disasters.